As we begin this morning, I want to paint a scenario that we've probably all been involved in at some point in time in our lives. We're having trouble with technology, right? The computer just won't turn on. It won't come on like we think it should, or whatever else we have. Maybe our phone is not working properly, or whatever technology that you have that you're having trouble with that we can imagine in our head. And you've worked with it all day, and you're just about sick of it. And so finally, toward the end of the day, you realize, I need some help. So I'm going to call someone for help. I'm going to call this helpline that's on, you know, my computer or my phone or whatever it is to help me get through this technology that I have that I just cannot get it to work. And so you finally decide to call that helpline. And what is the first thing that they ask you about that piece of technology? Is it plugged in? Right? It's one of the first questions that they'll ask you. You've been having trouble with it. Maybe you've even, which I've done before, you've opened it up. You've taken the computer apart to see if there's a fuse that's blown or something that you can fix. And you've put this machine back together and you call them and you say, I've worked on this thing all day. I've opened it up. I can't find anything. And they say, is it plugged in? And what do we think? How insulting, right? That you would ask me if I've got this machine plugged in. And they begin not just with, is it plugged in, but they start to ask you the most basic of questions. Did you restart your computer? Did you shut it off and turn it back on? And they'll say, unplug it for 10 seconds and then plug it back in and see if it works. Right? This must be like the automatic reset for everything that has ever been plugged in its life. Unplug it for 10 seconds, and you got to count those Mississippis. Make sure it's 10 seconds, because if it's under 10 seconds, it's not going to work. And we think, how ridiculous that you have asked me this question. But why do they ask that question? Do you know how many people don't have their machine plugged in? A lot. Probably way too many. But you know what's interesting as I think about it? See, I am the helpline for my parents when they have issues with technology. Instead of calling the actual helpline on the machine, they call me. Do you know what the first thing I ask them is? These dumb questions. Are you sure it's plugged in, Mom? Right? Did you try to reset it? Where's the paper where I wrote down your passwords? Right? All of those very basic of questions. We do the same thing. Why do we do that? Why do they start with all of these things? Of course I've got it plugged in. Of course I have restarted the computer. But why do they ask those things? Because a lot of times we've missed something so simple. We don't think we can miss something that simple, but we do. I got a call from a friend of mine a while ago, and he's an engineer, and he builds engines for a living, engines that are used at NASA. Okay, so this guy is very, very intelligent. And he called me and he said, could you meet me for lunch? I said, absolutely. I hope that you're buying, right? Because he makes way more money than I do. So we have lunch. And do you know what he asked me? He said, Tony, I need your help. I do not know how to balance my checkbook. Right? He makes three times as much money as I do. But he realized that I probably have more disposable income than he does because he doesn't know where his goes. He doesn't know where it is. He didn't know where to begin to start saving money or balancing a checkbook. And so sometimes it's those very simple things that we think, well, everybody knows that. Of course I check to see if it's plugged in. We miss those things sometimes, don't we? Do we ever wonder why God seems distant from us? Much like that computer that we can't get to work, we start thinking, where's God? Right? Why is God not, why am I not feeling God's presence? Right? Why do I feel so distant from Him? Why am I so discouraged right now? But I want to talk about some very simple things that we may be missing. So yes, I'm going to ask you today, have you plugged in to some very basic principles of the Bible? And it may seem ridiculous. It may seem, well, of course we're doing those things, Tony. We must be missing something bigger. But so often we're not. We're just not taking those little things that we need to be doing and doing them. Understand that there is power available in the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, when they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some of the brethren, the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also." Here's a group of people that were turning the world upside down with some very simple, basic principles. Now, I want you to understand that those changes are not always fun. Notice what Paul tells the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 3. "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, from whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him," and notice this, "the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." He says, I want to have that power, right? I want to be part of that power of the resurrection and have my own resurrection someday. But what does it take? It takes fellowship with His sufferings. It takes being conformed to His death. I want to look today at some basics that we all need to plug into. If we're feeling distant from God, removed from God, if we're feeling frustrated or disappointed, these may be some of the very things that we're not plugging into the way that we should. We need to plug in to the power of prayer. I want to take you back to Acts chapter 4. And I want to notice verse 31 again. It simply says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the Word of God with boldness." It says, "And when they had prayed." You know, this is after Peter and John had been put into prison. And they gathered everybody together and they were praying, not to keep themselves out of prison, but they were praying for boldness to preach and teach God's Word the way that they should. And to not let this incident of them being arrested, not let that affect how they were preaching and teaching God's Word. That's what they were praying for. And notice what happens when they prayed. The ground shook and the Holy Spirit filled them to do what? They began to speak the Word of God with boldness. That was their prayer. That's what they were asking for, and God granted that to them. No, the ground may not literally shake when we pray to God, but understand that He hears us and that He can help us. There is absolutely power in prayer. I always like to look at James, and I think just recently this week in one of the lemonades, we talked about James chapter 5. But I want to notice this again because there's so many great things about prayer in James chapter 5. Starting in verse 13, "Is any of you suffering? Then he must pray." But oftentimes, what do we do when we're suffering? We complain, don't we? I don't want to be suffering, and so I'm going to complain about my suffering until somebody helps me. God's Word tells us when you are suffering, is anyone suffering, then that person needs to pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Notice, they must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will do what? Restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, because of that, because prayer is powerful, because prayer works, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. There is power in prayer. But he also says the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. We need to make sure that we're living the right life, that we're doing the right things. Notice what verse 17 says, though. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. We look through some of the most powerful people that we might think of in Scripture, and Elijah is probably going to be on that list. Elisha asked for a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, and he got it. And think of all the things that he was able to do and that Elijah was able to do. But notice what God's Word, what James says about Elijah. He was a man with a nature like ours. What did he do? And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruits. My brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. There is power in prayer. See, James goes out of his way to tell you that there wasn't anything special about Elijah. That he is just as special as you and you are just as special as him because he has a nature like ours. But he prayed. And he prayed earnestly. Are we lacking in some of the areas that we shouldn't be lacking in? Again, look at James chapter 1 in verse 5. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Right? Go to God in prayer. If you're lacking wisdom, go to God in prayer. Notice that he says, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I love the original language here in James chapter 1 and verse 5, because the word generously literally means with an open hand. Right? You all know my analogy of that. Right? I like my Skittles just like anyone else. I like sugary candies. And if the kids come up and ask if they can have some, if Alana's not there, I typically will give them some. But here's how I do it. I pour those Skittles into my hand, and I tell them to hold out their hand. And I drop as many Skittles as I want to into their hand. That's not what that means. When it says that God gives generously, that God gives with an open hand, he says, here, you take as much as you need. You take as much as you want. God gives in that way with an open hand to us. If we're lacking something, if we're lacking, in the specific example he gives in James chapter 1 verse 5 is wisdom. But in anything, if we're lacking in that, ask God. Pray to God. It's so simple. Think about Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. As the disciples come to, and it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. Do you think the disciples didn't know how to pray? No, they've prayed before. This is not the first time that they've prayed. But they're asking Jesus, teach us to pray. Help me to learn more about prayer so that I can be more effective like Elijah was in his prayers. And sometimes we need to go back to those basics. We think, well, I've prayed my entire life. I've prayed since when I was a little kid. You know, mom started out by making me pray for every meal that I ever ate and then at nighttime. And I continued that. And at some point, I didn't need to be told. And I pray all the time. So why do I need to relearn? Well, we might be missing something very basic, and we need to let God teach us again how to pray. I encourage you also to tap in, to plug in to the power of love. I hope that the song does not get stuck in your head like it did mine. And I tried to figure out a different way to phrase that so it wouldn't go along with the song. If you don't know what the song is, don't look it up, because it will get stuck in your head. But we need to tap into the power of love. Notice verse 32 again, Acts chapter 4. And the congregation of those who had believed were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. It says they were of one heart and one soul. And that word soul, if you look it up, one of the definitions is essence, right? Our being, our lives should be one. We should have one heart and one soul. We should be striving for the same things. They showed their love for one another in that they shared all that they had. No one said, well, this is mine and I'm not going to share it. You ever watch kids play? When there's six of them, a lot of this goes on, right? This is mine. You can't have this. You can't play with this. We can all play with these things, but this one thing, I'm keeping that on my own, right? We probably all do that. Well, these people didn't do that. They didn't say, well, this one thing is mine. No, everything that we have is going to be shared between all of us. Now, again, I'm not saying that we need to put everything in a pile and share everything equally and accordingly. This is something that happened to them. And there was a circumstance that came up where there were a lot more people living in Jerusalem at that time. They were learning about God's Word, and so they didn't want to go back home yet. And so everybody just started selling all the things that they had and had everything in common. What's mine is yours. And that's the attitude that we need to have. Not that we need to automatically go out and sell everything that we have and put it in one big pile and distribute it from there, but that we need to be willing to do that. If that moment arises, we need to be willing to share all that we have. Everything that we do needs to have love accompanying it. The best scripture that we can go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, notice what he says, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What does that do? Well, all of those who had their head in the Bible reading it went like this, right? That noisy gong, that clanging cymbal, it draws your attention to it. Love doesn't do that. He says if you can do anything, but you don't have love, then you're just drawing attention to yourself. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. He goes on to describe love. And he comes to the conclusion in verse 13, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why? You always ask that question, why? Faith, hope, and love. We need faith and hope, right? Why is the greatest love? Well, to me, because at some point, we're not going to need faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Someday we're going to see, and we're not going to need faith. Hope is an expectation of something that has not happened yet. At some point it's going to happen. We are not going to need hope. But what we will always need is love. That is what is going to stay with us forever. Everything that we do as Christians needs to have love accompanying it. Not just do something because, well, I'm supposed to do it or I need to do it. But it needs to be accompanied with love. The deeds that we do are not enough on their own. They need to be accompanied with love. Do we feel, again, something missing in our lives? Why not plug love back in and see if that doesn't change something? See if that doesn't change the discouragement that you have in your life. See if that doesn't change the things that are missing in your life. Look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, starting in verse 10. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We have a responsibility to love. Not because we love God, but because He loved us. He reiterates in verses 19 and 20. We love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So if we're not willing, we can say, I love God all day long. But if we're not showing love to our brothers and sisters, if we don't love our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we don't love the world, we can't love God. And that's not me saying that. That's God saying that through the pen of John. If you say that you love God, but you can't love your brothers and sisters, you don't love God. You may say that, but you don't. Finally, we need to plug into the power of testimony. Again, I want you to go back to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 in verse 33. Remember that they've prayed for this. But, and with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. They were giving testimony for Jesus Christ. What was the result of them giving testimony? It says, abundant grace was upon them. Abundant grace was upon them all. Do we want the church to grow? I hope we probably all do. We probably all want the church to grow. We probably all want these seats to be filled with every other row 6 feet apart. But we probably all want this congregation to be filled, to be full. We can probably all think of people that we know and that we love from work or family or wherever it is that we would love to see sitting here with us, that we would love to see singing with us and hear singing with us and studying with us. Do we want the grace of God in our own lives? Do we want to feel what these first century Christians felt? Try giving the testimony of Jesus a try. Start talking about, start teaching other people about your Lord and Savior. Show the same love to them that someone showed to you for the reason that you're sitting here today. Somebody loved you enough to teach you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's commit that to others. I'm telling you, it will change everything if we start doing it. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, it says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He testified concerning His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. It's there. Right? If you believe in the Son of God, the testimony is there. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. We have that testimony within us. We know, we believe, if we are here, I assume that you believe in God. And you believe in the testimony of His Son. We need to pass that testimony on to others. Tell others about God's Son, and the eternal life that we can have through Him. You know, I think all of us at times feel like there's something missing in our life. in those cases, we need to check the very basics first. If we're discouraged and we're feeling like God is distancing himself from us, I assure you he is not. He is not moving. God does not change. It is us who moves away from God. And so in these cases, when we feel like God is missing or something is missing, we might need to plug in to prayer. Am I praying enough? Am I praying with the right heart? Am I praying with the right attitude? Jesus, teach me to pray. He taught his disciples, and in so doing, he taught us. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. We need to plug in to the love that God has given us, that he wants us to pass along. You know what's interesting? If we don't have our technology plugged in, do you know all the things that the technology needs? It's already running through your wall. It's already on, right? It's already there. It's ready. It knows what to do when that piece of technology is plugged in. It knows how to run it. But if you don't plug it in, there is no power. Again, we just need to plug it in. It's all there because God loved us first. It's all there. We just need to plug in. We need to start doing it. We need to start showing the love to others that God showed to us in sending his son. And we need to plug into the testimony of Jesus Christ. I know sometimes we get weirded out when somebody says witness, right? We're going to witness to someone. It's the same thing. It's not our story. See, that's what happens. I think that's why we get all weirded out when somebody says, I'm going to witness for a second. Because they're going to tell their own story. I don't need to tell you my story. I need to tell you God's story. I need to tell you God's son's story. That's the witness that we need. That's the witness that they were giving, which some translations will say witness. It was the testimony of Jesus that they were giving, not their own testimony. It was the testimony of Jesus that they were giving. I encourage you to plug into that and pass it on to others, because they have the same thing within them that you have. The power is there. The power is ready. They just need to plug in, and they need to be taught how. We can accomplish so much if we just put our minds to it. And we put our minds together, having one heart and one mind, as we've sung about just a moment ago, the blessed life, right? Each day I'll do something good. I encourage you to follow the words of that song. But to accomplish great things, we may have to get back to basics, because that's sometimes what we lose, isn't it? You know, I've seen over and over and over athletes who kind of get ahead of themselves. And they feel like they're too good for the basics, the fundamentals of the game. We'll never outgrow that. We always need to go back to those fundamentals. You'll hear people say it all the time. Somebody is struggling with their shot. Guess what they do? They go back to the basics. I'll not teach you all of those things right now. But they'll go back to the very basics. Are my feet where they should be? Right? Are my knees bent the way that they should be? Is my elbow locked where it's supposed to be? You'll see them go back to the basics, back to the fundamentals. As Christians, we need to do the same thing. And sometimes I think, you know, we get out of the classrooms downstairs and we come into the adult class and we feel like, you know, maybe we're too big for the story of David and Goliath now. Or we're too big for, you know, the stories, the parables that Jesus taught. No. Sometimes we need to go back. Sometimes we need to relearn all of those things. If you're here and you're not a child of God, I know we haven't talked a lot about becoming a child of God, but hopefully you see and understand what it means to be a child of God today. To have the power of prayer. To have access to the love of God that you can pass on to others. And that we need to continue to preach and teach the testimony of Jesus Christ. We become a child of God by being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. You can do that this very morning. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, maybe lost some of those basics, there's time and opportunity to try to grasp back onto those today. If you need our prayers of encouragement, if there's something that you need to confess in your life, we're told, confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another. We are to confess our faults to one another so that we can pray for one another. And I encourage you to do that today. If you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.